The price of oil now hovers above $60 a barrel, and while that high price would have once spelled trouble for the U.S. economy, now, thanks to domestic oil production, it's a little more complicated. Robin Farzad hosts the podcast Full Disclosure on NPR One. Hello, Robin with an E.
How are you? You can call me McLovin. It's my middle name.
Okay. Well, I'm Robin with an I. The U.S. now produces as much oil as it did in the early 70s and sells it. So more global oil revenues coming back to U.S. producers like Exxon and Shell. But now that more of that oil comes from here, as opposed to, say, Saudi Arabia, is the rest of the U.S. economy, you know, benefiting?
It's funny, Robin. You know, I'm old enough to remember when CNN would call me on when oil would go above 25 bucks a barrel.
Right.
And we've since had to adapt to a broader band of volatility. Oil, you'll recall, shot up to 140 bucks
right.
a decade ago, and that gave rise to a renaissance in U.S. drilling and boom towns in places like North Dakota. But when prices crashed a few years ago, Wall Street started worrying that some of these upstarts couldn't survive. So the story now, the equilibrium is not too low, not too high, is best for the economy.
Well, but, you know, you are telling us also that there's industry around this. So there's manufacturing, there's drilling, or what, however you get oil. So that does benefit. You know, there's work here because of oil production. But I'm wondering if costlier oil, while, you know, it might help those spots that are now producing it, drilling it, might raise prices on things in the U.S. made with oil.
You know, we constantly test that in real time. You feel it most immediately at the pump. If you recall, $4 gasoline in some parts back in 2008, and the roar back to gas guzzlers when gas then fell below $2 again. You see it in plastics and raw material prices. They're correlated to petroleum swings. The question for me is, are higher prices simultaneously stoking innovation in fuel economy? I'll give you an example. Subaru is coming out with its biggest SUV ever. It'll have a ton of room and good horsepower, and yet it will run on a four-cylinder engine that also gets decent fuel economy.
Mm.
But you know that whatever the price of oil, the push to electric vehicles and alternatives, I mean, that ship's already sailing.
By the way, if there's a trade war because of the president's push for tariffs, would that jeopardize overseas sales of U.S. oil?
You know, I think oil is a different beast. It's highly fungible. It makes its way into markets often despite sanctions. I think you're more likely to see other economies retaliate elsewhere, especially as the U.S. has more energy self-determination right now.
Okay. And you know, while we have you as well, Gary Cohn resigning from his position as White House economic advisor. You know, he was trying to persuade the president not to roll out his tariff plan. How did the markets open coming off of this news, and why is the opening so important?
We like to gauge reaction at the open. There's a lot of pent-up demand. The news came out last night. I mean, look, it was a down day in the markets, and the morning was the morning. But don't forget, this is a Goldman Sachs guy who just joined the wrong White House. There's legit trepidation over Trump and tariff fever, but, you know, markets going to mark.
Well, I was just going to say, are markets, though, maybe worried that, yeah, he was an anti-tariff Democrat, but he might have been a balance that's no longer there?
That balance wasn't working, apparently. I mean, that's been falling apart. Trump did decide on moving ahead with the tariffs after all.
Yeah. Robin Farzad, he hosts Full Disclosure on NPR One and visits us for all things on the economy. Robin, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.